Welcome to the Living Epistle Podcast, the place where you will find biblical principles to help you live out your faith on a daily basis and to have a positive impact on the lives of others. So, get ready for another powerful episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Hello, my name is Tony Miles, and welcome to this week's episode of Living Epistle Podcast. The motivation for this week's podcast actually came from something that happened last week, but I didn't see the full result of it, or should I say the rest of the story, until this week. And so I think, as most of you know by now, I'm currently in seminary pursuing a master's in divinity. And so in one of my classes, my assignment is for the next 4 weeks to write a parable. Yes, I know, strange assignment, but here's how this works. We're to go to unfamiliar places, places that we don't frequent, places that, again, are unfamiliar to us, places that we wouldn't normally go. And so we are to observe those surroundings and look for that, quote, God moment, end quote, that would inspire a parable in us. And so, well, me being the dutiful student that I am, I go and I do just that. I go to various places in and around Atlanta, kind of looking for that unfamiliar spot where my senses are heightened so I can really be in tuned for that God moment. And so 2 weeks ago, I go and I find me a spot, and it's the perfect spot. And I'm observing the people, observing the activity that's going all around. And then finally, it hits me. The moment that I see that this has got to be the parable moment that God wants me to write about. So I'm so excited about my parable, and I get it done and I submit it. And so later that week, the professor, what she normally does is she pulls parables for to share with the class, ones that she kind of likes. And so I get to the beginning of the class and I look over the list of parables that is on the sheet. And so I look down the front and mine is not on it. I look and I turn the sheet over and I look on the back and mine is not over it and mine is not on it. And so now let me just set the stage. Now, this was week two. In week one, my parable was on the first page. So I'm excited. I think I've got this down. I'm rolling. I'm good. I understand the assignment. I've got it. And so then week two, I get there and lo and behold, my parable's not on the list. And so now here's the thing. She takes like 15 of the parables and puts them on the list. Well, family, there are only 22 people in the class. So I did not make the top 15 out of 22. So I'm crushed. And yes, my ego's a little bruised. And so I think to myself, wow, this parable must have been horrible. Not just bad, but horrible that it didn't make the top 15. And so then I began to ask myself, I said, Lord, did I miss it? What you showed me was that beautiful sight that really just gripped me and caught my attention. Was that not it? And so there was no doubt in my mind when I saw it at the moment and when it caught my attention that that would be the thing that about which I would write my parable. And so when I get out of my class, I call two of my family members who shall remain nameless. And I told them jokingly, that I had just had the worst experience of my graduate school career so far. And so, of course, they said, what happened? What happened? So I explained to them, you know, what happened with regard to the parable. And of course, like any of my family does, they'll say, OK, well, go ahead and read the parable to me. And so after I read the parable to them, on the end of the parable, there's silence on the other end of the phone. Or I should say at the end of the parable, there's silence at the other end of the phone. And the silence was so quiet that it was deafening. And so I'm convinced now that my parable was horrible. All right. And so we laugh and we joke and we talk about it. But still, I'm a little bruised. And so I commit that, hey, I'm going to let them read it before I submit it, because, you know, maybe I just missed it. And so let's fast forward to this week. And so I get to class and then there's the grade for me on my parable. And drum roll, you guessed it. Guess what? I get 100 on the parable. Not only that, Not only do I get a 100, but the professor gives some really glowing comments on what I had written. And honestly, family, my first emotion was relief. It's like, whew, okay, wow, God, maybe I didn't miss it. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Don't you ever doubt that I'm with you. Even when there appears to be nothing happening, I am always at work on your behalf." Whoa. And really, family, it just really stopped me dead in my tracks. And literally, that's what happened. And so then I was reminded of the scripture in Isaiah 45 and 15. And I love the way the New Living Translation reads Isaiah 45 and 15. And it says, "Truly, O God of Israel, our Savior, you work in mysterious ways." And I know we've heard that a lot as kids growing up, and certainly we'll hear that even as adults. Wow, the Lord really works in mysterious ways. And so I had never actually seen it in a scripture. And again, this is the New Living Translation version of it. So I get it. But the fact of the matter is, and what they're trying to communicate here is, and this is Israel, and to set a little bit of backdrop for what was happening here, is that the prophet Isaiah was prophesying that God was going to use Egypt and turn Egypt around and the fact that Egypt would begin to worship him. And so it was boggling to the mind of the Hebrews because they understood what happened in terms of the tradition of the Egyptian enslavement. But God was telling them that they're actually going to wind up worshiping me as well. Anyway, that's the backdrop. And so that's when they say, "Truly, O God of Israel, our Savior, you work in mysterious ways." And so the long and the short of it is that there are times, and certainly I say many times, where we really have no clue what God is up to or what God is doing. And here's the rub, and here's really what I want us to take away from this, though, is, however, if God has spoken to us, if God has promised us something, if God has said something to us, we must trust that he is going to do what he said he would do. And so I love this scripture in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. And I'll read this from the New King James Version. And it's again, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. And it reads, "Then he said," and this is God talking to Elijah, "and then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by the mountain, and the great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind and the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice.'" What does that mean? Oftentimes we want to, when we go to God and we ask God to give us a sign, "Lord, can you just show me a sign that you heard me? Lord, show me a sign that I'm on the right track. Lord, show me a sign," whatever it may be. We want signs and wonders so that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is with us. Or we want these signs and wonders so that we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that, "God, you really did, in fact, tell me to do this." Well, how does this apply in my case? Let me just tell you what the Lord was saying to me, and I hope you can relate to something that you're doing or going through or have gone through. I wanted my parable to be front and center and on display for all the class to see. In this way, they would know beyond a shadow of the doubt that I had heard from the Lord, right? And so true, real talk, we want the attaboys and the attagirls so that to show, you know, that our efforts are appreciated. We want the accolades, and we want the, you know, appreciation again, just so that we can just know, yeah, God, boy, you are really in this. But let me be clear. There's nothing wrong with showing appreciation to someone for a job well done. Absolutely. And the Bible encourages us to do that. However, for the believer, we should not be doing the job for the attaboys or the attagirls or the accolades, right? Or the praise. That's not why we should be doing the job. We should be doing the job as unto the Lord. And so, in other words, we're not doing this again to get the praise of men, but we're doing this for the glory of God so that God could be glorified. And so in this particular instance, God just said no. He just knew where I was. Kind of, I was really happy with this parable and really happy with what I saw and just knew that it would make the cut. And God said no. He said, I want you to be just as confident in the still small voice that you hear from me as you would have been in the great signs and wonders, if you would have been, if I had put that parable on display for all the class to see. But because I didn't put it on display, but because I did speak to you and my still small voice, will you still be obedient to hear my still small voice? And so then it reminds me of a question I have for you, my podcast audience. What do you know that God has spoken to you in that still small voice that you have not done? What is it that you know that God will not leave you alone? It's not in the lightning. It's not in the thunder. It's not in the wind. It's not in the fire. It's not in any of those things, those signs and wonders, those things that you in your heart, you're waiting for God. Just show me a sign that this is really you. And yet in your heart, you know that God has spoken in that still small voice. And God is saying, go forth in it. Go forth in it. And again, what God was showing me through this example this past 2 weeks is that you should still believe that you heard from me, right? Even when others who are close to you, even when others who love you, even when others have your best intentions at heart, but even when they don't see what you see, when they don't understand what you understand, will you still trust me? Will you still continue to trust that still small voice? And the scripture calls it the very whisper of God. Will you still trust me? Even without the signs, the wonders, the lightning, the thunder, the wind, the fire, will you trust the small voice? And then finally, I believe God was saying, will you trust me even when things don't go the way that you think they should? Will you trust me? Will you trust me? You have plans and you have dreams and you have hopes and you have visions, and life will come and life will throw you a curve. Life will come and life will shatter all of the plans that you have. As a matter of fact, I think of the scripture, man plans and God laughs. But then again, God is God. And so then this reminded me of two scriptures as I bring this podcast to a close. It reminds me of two scriptures. It's John chapter 5, verse 17. And it says, but Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so am I. You see, family, no matter what we're going through, no matter what situations in life occur, no matter what's happening, or no matter what appears to not be happening, just remember what Jesus was telling the crowd. Jesus was telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was telling all the people who had come to see the signs and the wonders, and they were trying to rebuke him for healing on the Sabbath day. And Jesus says to them, my Father is always working, and so am I. So you see, Jesus doesn't take a day off. He just doesn't. Now, sometimes he may be, in our opinion, slow to answer the call, but understand that even when there appears to be nothing happening, he's working on our behalf. He's working behind the scenes. And then finally, this last scripture is one that is familiar, but I'll read it anyway, and I'll read it from the New Living Translation. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and it reads, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And so that's so encouraging to me. It's encouraging to know that God, who has begun a good work in us, is faithful to continue that work until either Jesus comes back or he calls us home. But the fact of the matter is that we're still being shaped. We're still being molded. We're still being fashioned. But the fact of the matter is that the hand of the potter is on us, the clay, shaping and molding and fashioning us. And I do chuckle at myself this week. And I pray that you see yourself or hear yourself or think of a time where you had been disappointed when things didn't go your way, or you thought you had nailed it, and man, it just didn't go your way, only to find out that God was at work all the while. And just so remember, family, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. This is Tony Miles. Thanks for listening. Now go and be a living epistle. Join us again next week for another episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Music for Living Epistle Podcast is provided by Audionautix.com.